हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Just on in the morning, we're discussing what we were discussing. There's something we were discussing. So. No, it was about the Lord being in everything. Oh yes, so then about the Lord being in everything, right? About the aspect of being Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So. And how he pervades everything. So generally, we're looking at it also from it means the impersonal aspect of he's pervading, but he's pervading as part of Brahman. So he's a person who's pervading everything, right? As a person, he's separate, but it's him himself consciously pervading everything. You understand? It's not that the pervasion is happening just on its own, and he doesn't know anything about it. Does that make sense? Just like the man. Has his company, he knows everything in the company, so he's in that way, he's in everything in the company, but he's still separate as a person. So he's conscious of his all-pervading aspect. So, the interesting thing is then, what's being pointed out, is that, I think it's Gopal Bhatta Goswami is discussing. So then, he is sacrifice, right? And it's because of sacrifice as being defined that's why the sun does its job. The sun moves because of sacrifice. Right? Huh? That's the individuals who do their work, it is out of that. But the potency that is there that makes the sun and all that is that. So it's a sacrifice, you have to do it. Right? So then you have this element that all these different potencies are managing the universe. And then it's because it's such a complete, perfect system that even if there's something wrong in the system because of our involvement, means the jivas, the system still functions. Just like the universe is still going on when Indra's sitting inside of a lotus stem in Manasarova because he didn't deal properly with Vishwarupa. Right? So all these things go on. It goes on perfectly. So that's the aspect because it's his potency. So he's making everything functioning. He's pervading everything. He's involved. So it's his relationship and interaction with the jivas. And as we discussed this morning, he interacts with the jivas based on how they see him. They just see him as dead matter. He responds as dead matter. They see him as laws of nature. He responds that way. They see him as a social system. He responds that way. Or senses, or knowledge, dharma, you understand? Paramatma, Brahman, or Bhagavan. So however you see him, that's how he responds. But it's him that's responding. Right? So if it's Bhagavan, then he personally gets involved. If it's anything lower, then his energies take care of it, or his expansions take care of it. Yes?
Can we say that it sounds, it's the Buddhist saying, if the tree falls in the forest and we're not there, so it doesn't make any sound.
No, we're saying it will make sound because whether we're there or not, it's Krishna's potency.
Yeah. My point is that Krishna, he is Krishna. And he only displays his Brahman feature or Brahmatma according to our vision.
No, but it's Brahman that's pervading everything. Everything's made out of Brahman.
But now we said that everything is Krishna.
But everything is Krishna as Brahman. We're saying these pillars are Krishna because it's his Brahman potency. But we can see Krishna, that in other words, strength is him. He's the one that kills Aristasura or Danakasura. You know, he's catching him by the tail and swinging him around and tossing him up in the trees. Right? The demigods are afraid of these guys, but they just catch him by the tail and swing him around and toss him in the trees. Right? So his strength is what is holding up these columns, but he only puts that much that needs to hold up this building. Right? He's not doing anything wonderful. That he does in his pastimes. Or we could say it's just that how it works in nature, then that's wonderful. But it's still only a spark of his spirit. Understand? So what we're saying is you have both these aspects happening at once, because Krishna is subservient aspects of himself, the Brahman and Paramatma. But it's Krishna who comes as Brahman, Krishna who comes as Paramatma. Does that make sense? So the whole point is we can see him in everything. And the nice thing is the universe, everything will go on despite us. You know, there's always the thing that man will do something, you know, some calamitous thing that will destroy the universe. No, we can't do that. We don't have the power to do that. We're just allowed to do how much is, you know, within our purview.
We can annoy the earth.
Yeah, just like you can annoy anybody, right? You know, if you want. But the point is that you can only annoy so much. Right? Can you annoy the whole planet? No, you can only annoy a certain amount of people. So that's the thing. You can only do so much with this idea, we'll destroy the universe like that. But then, you know, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it likes to. And why does it sound good that you say, oh, because man did it, because man is the independent doer. Therefore, he may do something amazing that's, you know. No, you won't. Yeah, so therefore you can take all your conspiracy magazines and throw them away. Well, I don't mean that you have to be that extreme, you know, you can keep leave them there for guests and stuff like that. But. No? Yes? No? Okay. So back to where we were. We have experience, so this is about persons who are not to be instructed in Shankya, right? Also, they're so-called, okay, let's just start at the beginning. Persons who are always planning to do harm to other living entities are not eligible to understand Krishna consciousness and cannot enter into the realm of transcendental loving service of the Lord, right? So, because of the element of ignorance, right? So they're just steeped in the lowest aspects of ignorance, right? You know, because that's it. The envy is so strong that it's always looking how to do harm to others. Like most animals just go along with the life. Close. Yeah, like 3 kilometers. Yeah, that's very close. Generally, it's always about, I don't know, even, yeah, I don't know, 10 or more away. No, at least that's miles, 3 miles, so 4 kilometers. Or a little bit more. Okay. Okay. So it's like, but you have like snakes, scorpions, and badgers. These ones, it says that if anybody comes along, they'll bother them. Right? Most animals just sit there and do their thing. Only if you're going to bother them, then they'll retaliate. But there's living entities that all they do is try to bother. So that kind of person cannot enter into the transcendental loving service. Right? But you have this aspect where someone's taken up devotional service, but because they're situated in mode ignorance of ignorance, then they're not going to get very far. Right? Also, there are so-called disciples who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially, with an ulterior motive. They also cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. It'll be thought of as... thought of as some ritual or some other aspect like that. You know, some morality. But it won't be caught what it actually is. Right? That's good, yes.
Will they not be purified?
It depends, because of the aspect of bothering others, then why would they be purified?
No, the disciples.
No, but why would they be purified? They have an ulterior motive. They're not approaching the spiritual master actually for pure devotion. They have something else.
I would say they do it out of ritual.
But what's the point of it? That means if you're looking at ultimately there's a sincerity, then yes, but here he said so-called disciples. That means there are these things. Because you have to remember, generally amongst Westerners, you generally don't get as much so-called disciples. You might get that out of Indians, because they can't, means all, what we do is a lifestyle. You know, as far as the strictness is generally less strict than most cultured Indians, their lifestyle. You know, when they have a very standard lifestyle that follows all these rules. And the ones that really follow the rules, then, you know, it's very, very... So for them to do this, and then from that they might get some recognition or whatever it is that they're looking for, it would be easy to do. Now, Westerners, this is totally out of their ballpark, you know, being following this. So generally they wouldn't come for a little prestige or a little this and that. They'd rather be absorbed in sense gratification. Does that make sense? But the principle is there, because if you've been around longer, then it can happen, right? And then there is the thing, is you could be being sincere, then you could end up with an ulterior motive, right? But since underlying it was that, then with time, by association, you get purified, come back to the standard again. But it's just giving what are the aspects, and then you have to put them together. Like Bhuti Yoga, it explains each one separately, then you combine them all into the practical application. But, so it's not that they can't do devotional service, they cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. Right? Means they could sit there and go to the temple program and do very nicely, but they can't understand actually what they're doing. So therefore, if anyone brings up some moralistic element or some other social, then immediately, oh yes, yeah, what about that? Because they don't actually know what Krishna consciousness is. Persons who, due to being initiated by another sect of religious faith, do not find devotional service as the common platform approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. So if one is following some other spiritual process, and I say, then they may identify with it so much, the external parts of it, they don't understand the principle of it, which is there's only one God. So therefore, they cannot also understand devotional service. Right? Somebody said. So that also happens. Well, you find those who can see the higher principle, and it's just they follow their rituals to serve Krishna, and we follow ours to serve Krishna. Like I've heard of, I don't know, I haven't heard what's the position now, but I think back in the 90s, there was one Christian priest, he chants 16 rounds a day. You know, he'd do all his duties and everything. I think it was in a smaller place, some kind of parish priest, but he would chant 16 rounds a day. Sorry?
I know one in Brazil.
In Brazil, okay. I think this person was in somewhere in Britain, maybe Ireland or Wales or something. Also one there. Yeah, so then...
Also,
sorry?
Also in Chile, there is one lady who is living there in the monastery.
A nun.
In the 16 rounds and the disciple of Jesus.
Okay, yeah, but they just live that lifestyle. And then point is you can see Krishna in it, though it's not as scientific a system. That's all. But it's just you're engaging, you're conditioning in the Lord's service. Right? Does that make sense? We have experienced that some students come to join us, but because of being biased in some particular type of faith, they leave our camp and become lost in the wilderness. Right? You had that one disciple, he comes, and then when that whole thing came up about going to the moon, Prabhupada said they didn't go to the moon. He left Krishna conscious because he just couldn't digest that. So you have that because of attachment to modern science, attachment to modern social principles. Many cannot function in the mainstream Krishna consciousness because they can't deal with this because of their material bias. So Prabhupada's giving example of people you don't teach this technical philosophy to, because all it will do, you can see, is when we're going through the technical philosophy, it's just saying the facts of what things are. But you saw how much social issues was there. Some days we go and get through one paragraph because of the social discussions. So now, someone who has that basic faith that, okay, you know, that we're just how to understand it, that's fine. But there would be many you could discuss for days and they would not accept. Because it's a bias. It's not about truth. It's about their bias they take as truth. There's an attachment to that bias. Yes?
So if we kind of get them the technical details, how much can we engage these people?
The point is there's devotional service. You take chant, dance, take prasad. You know, be nice. So they'll always get benefit, but you just can't explain more. It's not that everybody can't be engaged in devotional service. Just like you said, those who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially with an ulterior motive, if there's some engagement in devotional service, they get benefit. But the point is they won't get as much benefit as someone who's not acting in that platform. So you understand? So it'll be very slow because they're materialistic. You know, it's just like a materialist does devotional service unknowingly, they get a jata sukriti. So all it is it's just a step above that.
Okay, so you can't tell them that it's devotional service, but in some
No, you can't tell them. It means they know it's devotional service, because we're saying so-called disciples. Or some students. They know it's devotional service, but the technicalities they can't digest because they already have their concept of what the universe is and how it works. What is real social, you know, society? What are real social values? What's the real, you know, in other words, all the aspects that the Vedas discuss, they already have a bias, you know, of something that's not Vedic and they can't digest it. Right? Or even they have the Vedic, but they have a bias that the demigods have a position, or Shiva has something special, or this, that, so they can't actually understand Krishna's position as supreme. Does that make sense? Yeah, so like that, then it... you have that happen. So it's just pointing out that if you find someone that really has misgivings about it, don't talk about it. You see those misgivings, it means they ask the question, you make the point, and then if it goes further, you just bring out the devotional aspect that will connect it and that they can use and leave it at that. Because there's no use in discussing it, because they don't have the ability at the present moment. Maybe later, as they get purified, they will, but at the present moment, they don't. Now, someone may say, well, that's very proud, but we're just stating facts. That's the problem. In a modern society that's so much about facts, they really don't want to hear the facts. So, in other words, what facts they feel is good for their own gain and safety, they must hear that, they demand to hear that, that's their right to hear that, but the ones about their position and how their position is not strong, Then now you're discriminating, now you're categorizing, we're not this body, you understand? Someone else is definitely their body and the doer and should get their results. But if it's about me, then we're not the body, we're this, why you're categorized, we're just devotees. You know what I'm saying? Just like I said, you have the thing is that okay, we're Westerners, we should do like this. Right? So that's, and somehow or another, that's purely transcendental and not bodily conscious, right? Now they put out an ad, you know, in the devotee kind of forums, that they wanted Western white devotees, but even any Western devotees, just as long as they weren't from India or Bangladesh, right? That looked different from the Bangladeshis, right? That they could come to Bangladesh and preach. Because they, somehow or another, if they're wet, then they think, oh, wow, you know, that's, what are they up to? And then there was this hue and cry, oh, this is bodily consciousness, this is nonsense. Well, you know, you have to educate the people and this and that. Somehow you have to educate the Bangladeshis, but not the Westerners. The Westerners have the right to be Westerners, but the Bangladeshis should come up to the high bodily concept standard of the West. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we're meaning, is that this is unqualified for learning Shankhya. They can do devotional service, because as Prabhupada says, a child can do, a dog can do, anybody can do. But the technical points should not be discussed with if somebody has too strong a bias, especially to non-Vedic or non-devotional in the, within Vedic perspectives that they're strongly attached to. Right? In other words, you generally discuss it, but if you see there's resistance, then you just go by it. Because the point is, Shankhya is useful as a tool. It's not the ultimate aspect. The ultimate aspect is serving Krishna. So, if they're willing to serve in some other capacity, that's good. Encourage that. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately, people are going to jump up and down about something anyway. Otherwise, they can't digest, you know, lunch. Right? You understand? You get all agitated, it gets the bile moving, so it digests your meal, right? You know, yeah. Okay?
Yes.
Actually, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious faith, which these kind of individuals are trying to make it into. It is a teaching process for understanding the Supreme Lord and our relationship with Him. So it's about the facts. Anyone can join this movement without prejudice. Right? Means we don't have prejudice. Unfortunately, there are persons who feel differently. It is better, therefore, not to instruct the science of Krishna consciousness to such persons. Means we are unbiased. Anybody can join, but there are biased people that they won't be able to take advantage of these technical points. You don't discuss it. Just like as we're biased towards material attachment, we don't discuss the higher elements of rasa. So it's the same way. You can't discuss the higher elements of tattva either. The point is you can't get technical on any level. You have to keep it simple. Right? Yeah. Generally, materialistic persons are after some name, fame, and material gain. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness for these reasons, you will never be able to understand this philosophy. Such persons take to religious principles as a social decoration. Yes?
Those are the anarchists.
Yes, they are the anarchists. No, but you take the Krishna consciousness for these reasons, or you come with these. That's the difference. So it's just like I engage the senses in the same activity connected to Krishna's devotional service. Without Krishna, it's sense gratification. So I may have name, fame, material gain as within my consciousness, my machitta, but it's not my goal. I'm trying to actually get beyond this. And so I take up Krishna consciousness with the idea to get rid of it, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. So if I'm not careful, it may grow, because when you chant Hare Krishna, the weeds grow along with it. So if these weeds come up and choke the creeper, then what you're going to see is interest in name, fame, and material gain. But it's not that if you don't buy good association and that pull out these weeds, that you won't find, you know, advancement in devotional service. So that's why you can say is this applies. We're talking, one is about someone who comes new to the movement, then whether you see this or not, right? But you're also going to get the aspect of having come to the movement after some time. If they're not careful about the weeds may grow, and these same things may become prominent in their life. Right? Does that make sense? They admit them. themselves into some cultural institution for the sake of name only, especially in this age. Such persons also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Even if one is not greedy for material process, but is too attached to family life, he also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Superficially, such persons are not very greedy for material possessions, but they are too attached to wife, children, and family improvement. You'll see that, is that they'll have individuals, they'll talk, they'll be involved in the temple program, good at the temple program. And any discussions are about that, but they're very, very attached to their family and developing the family. You don't see it in the temple program, but outside of that, you can see it. You know what I'm saying? So that means that aspect of Krishna consciousness following the sadhana, they understand that the philosophy will elude them to some degree. So better they're performing nice sadhana and steady in that, because that with time they'll get purified and be able to understand. When a person is not contaminated by the above mentioned faults, yet at the ultimate issue is not interested in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if he is a non-devotee, he also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So someone has called character, can follow the Vedic, has all these different things, but it's not going to work for him. Right? Because he still can't accept that the ultimate goal is Krishna. So that's why performing the duties with the proper knowledge and detachment, then applying that in devotional service, that's what will work. Does that make sense? Now, just as a side point, now you understand why Manu doesn't recommend continuing class when there's a storm. Because there's too many things to think about. Did I close the windows? What about getting your clothes? What about this? Running around, the wind, and this. The kids go nuts. You know, they just want to run around and yell and scream and like that. So you want to move on that side? Or? That's there, yes. Seeing the advantages. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verses. Kapila shows that shows those who are not qualified for these teachings. Some people attempt to understand by false bhakti for evil purposes. Others are devoid of conduct as students. Right? So some have ulterior motives, some don't have the conduct. Right? Others are proud. They're just proud. That's what we're talking about here. You have evil purposes, that's an anartha, definitely. Devoid of conduct, that's anartha. Why would you be devoid of conduct, right?
No, I mean, pride is more kind of common.
Eh?
Common. It's more common. I mean, evil purposes.
Yes, but there's some pride, and everybody's got some, but the attitude is always proud. Like you have a person that their personality is proud. That's going to get in the way of understanding Krishna consciousness. What I'm saying? It doesn't mean that they can't understand the form, but they can't understand the principle. They cannot understand the principle. They can understand the form. Just like you have proud people who can follow and do things very nicely. You know, they dress well, their etiquette is very good, they know all the rules, they do everything perfectly. But they won't understand what's the actual purpose of all that. So if such a person comes to Krishna consciousness, they can engage nicely in all the activities of Krishna consciousness, and they'll get benefit for that. But they won't actually be able to understand the essence of Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's going to be a problem. G. Maybe move these blankets so they don't get wet. You know, just put them somewhere so they're out of the way. Huh? No, these are fine. It's just those ones, because those are, yeah, this gets a little missed. Okay. Others have different opinions, right? Because it's not a problem that you have a different opinion. It means you can sit on it if you want. You'll get wet, but the blanket won't.
No?
See, because if you get wet, you can dry off. But if the blankets get wet, there's no guarantee they'll dry out. Because then that's dependent on the boys taking them, putting them in the sun. They'll put them out in the sun, and then they'll forget about it when the next storm comes, and it'll get even wetter. So. Okay. Yes?
I heard a couple of occasions.
A couple of occasions. You have to understand that properly, because see, so you do have these aspects where they may come for ulterior motives, like that. You can have that, but you can also it's called Kali Chela, right? Chela means, do you understand Chela? Somebody's Chela, so Kali Raj, you know. Kali Raj, the guy in charge of Kali Yuga, dresses up like a king, harasses cows. Okay, you got it. Okay, so a chela is someone's like assistant or who's committed to them, right? Like you have the rough tough guy, and he's got all his smaller guys around him to hang around and do his bidding, right? You don't have a name like that in Spanish. He's the gangster. What are they?
Padrino.
Padrino. He's the padrino. But what are they? You don't have that? You know, you have the tough guy at the school, you know, the big guy, he's either got the brains or he's anything like that. And he's got all the guys to hang around with him. Those are chelas, right? Or you have the head cheerleader and then all the girls that hang around with her. Those are they're female, so they're chelis. You understand?
An entourage?
Like kind of an entourage or like that, but less, not necessarily as dignified, but like that. You understand? So, a Kali chela means he's working on behalf of Kali. Now, it may be he knows it, he may not recognize it because he's ulterior motive, so he doesn't know. Or he actually knows what he's doing. He's a charlatan. Like that. But these will be more rare, right? But you do have those that unknowingly are working for Kali. Right? Devotees who oppose the Vedic version are working for Kali. Because that's all, the point is the Vedic version is what's going to... is what's going to destroy his progress. So therefore, if you oppose the Vedic version, you're already doing his work for him. Right? If Prabhupada said you can't destroy this movement from outside, it's impossible. But from inside, you can. So he can't destroy this movement. But if you work for him, then you can. So it's not necessary that everybody's working for. I mean that you have individuals working for knowingly, but sometimes because of these things, other opinions, attachments to particular things, family life, the economics, the social position, you know, certain philosophies, certain social things like this, that they'll profess those and argue those and bewilder devotees. That's Kali Chela. We just say you're in Maya. Right? So Kali Chela and being in Maya is basically the same thing. Now there's someone who just comes up and affects themselves, then like that. Kali Chela will be more is that they affect others. Right? Then there's the effect, there's also, you have to be careful in applying this, because there's people who are looking for some excuse to be affected. Does that make sense? Like, just like we've had gurus fall down all over the movement. And some places it has a devastating effect, sometimes not. Like, you know, like Australia, here, gurus, no one, it didn't bother, I mean, people don't appreciate it, but it doesn't affect anyone's devotional service. It goes on just as it was. You know, they're sad or sorry that, you know, somebody's missing the relationships and that, but, you know, everything goes on. But there are some places that from the day the guru left, within 3 weeks, there was no yatra. So what does that mean? It means they were looking for an excuse to go out and enjoy themselves, but they didn't have one. But if he left, and you know, either that's what he's doing, so we should do that, or if he can't do it, then nobody can do it, or you know, all the they come up with all kinds of things. So, but it was astonishing, you know. And at the same time, is that yatra was very proud. They thought themselves the superior yatra, basically of all yatras in the world. But in 3 weeks, it was gone. Right? You know, a few individuals there holding down the fort, but that's about it. But the majority have disappeared. So you have that also. So you combine those that you have people that were looking for, and then people who are professing. So it's one thing someone has problem and leaves. It's another thing is they profess. So if you profess against the Vedic version, that's technically you're acting on behalf of Kaliraj. That's Kali Chela. It's not that they're demons that come along and sneak into the movement and then try to do it. You might have those. But the point is it's even if the common devotee could get into that category if they get too overwhelmed by their maya. You understand? So the principle is you try to avoid being affected by maya. Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah, they're an agent, but they're not necessarily a known agent. Huh? Yeah, they're not paid. They're not on the payroll and stuff. They're just, you take advantage of. Kali Raj takes advantage. In other words, Maya takes advantage. So we just look at it, they're in Maya. And others then follow them, they're in Maya. But it's still the same principle. Does that make sense? So we have to be serious to be established in Krishna consciousness and interested in pure devotion. One thing.
Yeah. The Lord has Supreme Controller.
Yes.
He's taking care of
his body. Right.
And if he isn't somebody ask them of what to tell you, at least kind of tell us, we were criticizing or being defenseless, more advisors.
Right.
The reaction can be much faster.
Right.
But we see nowadays, at least this can tell us, the reaction doesn't come in fast.
But what reaction are you expecting? Because you have these people so much more focused. Now you go back 500 years, what's their focus? Is their focus better or not? Yeah, so that means when they're being offensive, they're actually being more offensive. Nowadays, people's focus is not so good, so they can't even be that great of a Kali Chela. So therefore, reactions are less. And also you ask the Lord, what will be the best way to take care of it? Just like with Yudhishthira, Duryodhana and his crew are behaving badly. No? Yes? No? Yes. But at the same time, it took 14 years before the fruit of that bad behavior was manifested. Came. Because in doing that, then you get rid of all of them. Why get rid of one guy when you can get rid of all of them? Right? But at that time with Lord Chaitanya, you had one guy here, one guy there. You know, but with Yudhishthira, you had so many of them. So you can either get rid of one, or you can wait and get rid of them all together. You know what I'm saying? It happens. So just whatever Krishna wants, then it will happen. But see, it's that people are interested in these things. People like topics of discussion. They like issues. Therefore, then they're available. Just like here in Mayapur. If you just were interested in pure devotional service, you do have association where that would be the discussion. That would be the practice. If you want to know the latest gossip that's happening anywhere in the world, you can know that here also. Better than probably other places in the world. Yeah, because if you're in your own country, you only have your own people. So they only kind of have a similar interest, which is not that dynamic. So the variety is not great. But when you have an international community, you have gossip coming from everywhere. So there's gossip you didn't even know was there, available. Right? So so much greater opportunity. Does that make sense? So if you want, you can be totally in Maya. And if you want to be in pure devotion, you can be totally into that. Right? The Mayapur is like a kalpa viksha for you. Anything you want, you can get. What? Oh, I was trying to figure out who's phone it. Okay, others have different opinions, right? Because opinions, like Prabhupada said, someone asked, oh, what's your opinion? Prabhupada said, my opinion is not important. It's what the Shastras say, what the Acharyas say, that's important. I don't remember, have we ever had a storm during your class? I don't remember ever having.
We had
Will the wind affect all this? Oh, okay. You can, sometimes, I don't know, you can identify it in sound, you know, some kind of sound thing, and then when there's a blade, identify that noise and they clear it from the hole. It turns anything. If we stop talking, it makes that too. But I mean that particular sound. Okay. So the point is, opinions aren't important. In the modern thing, it's all about, well, we need to hear everybody's opinion. No, we don't. We have to hear what is the application, the perspective on serving Krishna. That's there. But as opinion, what's the use of it? If it's not backed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, there's no meaning to it. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Okay. Others are fixed in Dharma simply for material gain and fame. You have people that they are very fixed in Dharma, but for gain and safety. That's all. They know, they're pious enough to know that only if I do Dharma will I get benefit, and they will do it. Right? So you have like that. So these kind of persons then won't be interested. Some persons, though devoid of the previous faults, are strongly attached to material enjoyment. Right? So they perform their duties nicely, they have good qualities, but they're still attached to enjoyment. Yes?
Fame
or name. Name means is in your own, not in holy name. Or famous for the holy name. You chant so great. Okay, so name and fame basically is just one of the... What's the benefit? It's temporary anyway. You know, as if in everything. And it's just a passing opinion. So unless it comes by... And if it's coming, and whatever it is by Krishna's grace, because fame is one of Krishna's opulences. So it's his opulence. And it's we're doing things that Krishna says is in line with fame. And so because of that, then fame comes. Just like if you perform the proper activities in the economic field, you get money. So you perform the proper activities, you know, authorized activities in the area of fame, then you become famous. But the point is whatever it is, knowledge, fame, beauty, these are all Krishna's opulence. So we're only supposed to engage them in his service. Does that make sense? So that's the... Others, though not overly involved in material enjoyment, are attached to sons, wife, and wealth. Right? Because they're just working hard, doing their duties and everything like that. Doing their duties and all that, and then by the time everybody's moved up, then they'll stop, right? Yeah, so they're attached to sons, wife, and wealth. So they're taking care and working hard for that. And as we saw before, the miser, he doesn't get much. He doesn't enjoy much. Though one may not have any of the above faults or other faults not mentioned, one is disqualified from the teaching if one is not a devotee. So he may be a very pious person. But if they're not a devotee, it's still not going to work. Out of error or inattention, one may instruct such persons sometimes. However, one should never teach those who hate the devotees. Right? So, you may think that they don't have these, or there's something. So, inattention, you're not aware of it, right? Or out of mistake, you thought that they were something else and you find out differently. So, then you just stop after that. Right? So, you make your effort, and if it works, then fine. And if it doesn't, then does that make sense? You make your effort. And then if you see it's a mistake, you change. You don't make that endeavor anymore. The previous items are in the locative case, and the last item is in the accusative case. This indicates that the other persons are secondary, and the last person must be completely avoided. If the others cannot be taught, then what to speak of the person who hates devotees? So in other words, the person who hates devotees, you just don't even bother with them. But the others, then you might be dealing with them and you find out how much. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah?
So compassion or something, there is devotees who are like against the other devotees.
Don't get involved. Because the point is they'll only, since they don't like, they'll only be favorable to you if you don't like. So as you're trying to help them, they're going to be trying to implicate you and they're not liking you. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing if they're always stable and nice and then something comes up from one incident, then you deal with it. But if you see that they're rooted in that and are attached to that, then you leave it. You understand? So there's a difference between something comes up and you're committed to something. Right? Somebody's going along, someone falls down, but they're not committed to that, then they'll come back up. Someone falls and they're committed to that, then they're dealt with in that new position. Right? Does that make sense? So like that. Next, the Lord lists those who are qualified to receive spiritual knowledge. Instruction should be given to the faithful devotee who is respectful to the spiritual master, non-envious, friendly to all kinds of living entities, and eager to render service. And eager to render service with faith and sincerity. This instruction should be imparted by the spiritual master to persons who have taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be more dear than anything, who are not envious of anyone, who are perfectly cleansed, and who have developed detachment for that which is outside the purview of Krishna consciousness. So if it's outside of Krishna consciousness, we're not interested. Right? Because what will it do for Krishna consciousness? So if it's not within my duties that I can engage in Krishna consciousness, I'm not interested. Right? So that means I have attachments. There's my main ones. There's all the side ones. I just drop those. Right? The main ones that within my duties, I engage those in the Lord's service. With time, I'll get purified with knowledge and detachment, then very slowly, slowly, to become more about Krishna, less about those. Right? Does that make sense? The advanced personalities, they are attached to Krishna and just serve Krishna. So whatever is their facility that they can serve Krishna with, that's all they're interested in. They're not interested beyond that. Yes?
When it says here that they should be respectful to the spiritual master, does that also mean that they should be respectful to the spiritual master?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, because the spiritual master would mean here all levels. So generally we take that to just mean Diksha Guru, but it means Siksha Guru, any senior devotees. So in other words, there's a principle that you're respectful. But if you're, let's say you're a neophyte, so you only respect the spiritual master, not so much anybody else, you teach a little bit. As they get purified, you teach more. But if they're envious of others, but not the spiritual master, you just engage them nicely in the service and don't get into too much detail. Because the point is if they don't like the devotees, then there's going to be a problem. Because it says here, who hates devotees, that can also mean devotees. Right? Because it mentions that devotee in ignorance, on the lowest level, has faith in Krishna consciousness, but he has that destructive aspect towards some devotee or devotees. Right? You understand? So it's a mix. So then you have to be careful with these things.
So also means that if you don't have respect for the person who is instructing you, you cannot actually learn.
No, you won't learn. You never learn. So that's why it's mentioned, don't even talk to those people. Because you can say, I had to say something, but it's just a waste of time because they won't hear it. You've given valuable instruction, but they don't. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, unless it's your duty to say something, then you say. But the point is you don't go out of your way. But, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 42. Oh. So should we stop or we just keep going? Just keep going? You don't want to stop, you don't want to get out in the rain. Okay, we'll just keep going. In the beginning, no one can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional service. Here, bhakta means one who does not hesitate to accept the reformatory processes for becoming a bhakta. In order to become a devotee of the Lord, one has to accept the spiritual master and inquire from him about how to progress in devotional service. To serve a devotee, to chant the holy name according to a certain counting method, to worship the deity, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita from a realized person, and to live in a sacred place where devotional service is not disturbed, are the first out of 64 devotional activities for making progress in devotional service. One who has accepted these five chief activities is called a devotee. Right? So then that's how you judge. And then within that, they may be a neophyte, a madhyama, or uttama. Right? So like that. Does that make sense? So no one will start off on the top level. They'll always come up through the process. One must be prepared to offer the necessary respect and honor to the spiritual master. He should not be unnecessarily envious of his god-brothers. Right? I mean, something may come up just because of the neophyte nature or because of something that they have differences of approach or opinion. But it shouldn't be unnecessary. Right? Ideally, it's not there at all, but there may be a small amount. Rather, if a god-brother is more enlightened and advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should accept him as almost equal to the spiritual master. And one should be happy to see such god-brothers advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because the point is people will advance in Krishna consciousness, you should be comfortable with them. You know, because they may be the same, that if you join together, then they become more advanced. They may have joined later and become more advanced. Does that make sense? So you should be happy with that. You shouldn't be not happy with that. Right? A devotee should always be very kind to the general public in instructing Krishna consciousness, because that is the only solution for getting out. For that is the only solution for getting out of the clutches of Maya. That is real humanitarian work. Right? So that means all the issues that one is worrying about, they can only be accomplished in Krishna consciousness. We said that anything within karma or jnana can only be fulfilled within by being connected with bhakti. It means that. It doesn't mean that means okay for the karmi and for the jnani, but then for we're using modern techniques and values, we can do that separate from Krishna consciousness. Right? Whatever value you want can only be had in Krishna consciousness. Right? And therefore, separate from that, one will fail. Right? You get, but then after that, like I was reading about this lady. I can't remember what her name. Anna something. Right? Then it had been something that had been there before. It was there in traditions, some kind of respect for the mother. And then her mother was committed to having it established, not necessarily as a big festival, but in a certain aspect. I think within the church or something like that. And she died before it got established, so then the daughter carried it on. She actually brought it to the point it got established as a national holiday and into an internationally accepted holiday. Right? Over a long time. She's working and moving with top people and as presidents, I think different presidents, some of them said it's a good, you know, it's something as a day, some of them made it official. So it went through a lot of stages. Until finally it got accepted. Like that. And so he worked very hard. Then it became commercialized. So it's one of the biggest holidays, you know, in the world, for selling flowers and for selling things. So all the shops, everyone takes advantage of the festival, right? So when she saw this, she became so disappointed, she spent the rest of her life fighting against the holiday. So that's the problem with the modern perspective. You try one thing, you end up as something opposite, right? You're trying to have all the people be equal and therefore protected, and so you set up a political system that's considered one of the most suppressive towards its people. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that when you try to do these political, social elements without Krishna consciousness, they'll always fail. For it is the way to show mercy to other people who need it very badly. The word shushusha virataya indicates a person who faithfully engages in serving the spiritual master. Once you give personal service and all kinds of comforts to the spiritual master, a devotee who does so is also a bona fide candidate for taking this instruction. The word bahir jata vairagaya, means a person who has developed detachment from external and internal material propensities. Not only is the detachment from activities which are not connected to Krishna consciousness, but he should be internally averse to the material way of life. And so even within Krishna consciousness, it's not about the enjoyment one's going to get. Right? It's just about the service that will be rendered. Does that make sense? Because then that gives the highest pleasure, because the satisfaction of Krishna and the Vaishnavas is actually the greatest position that one is going to gain. Right? Such a person must be non-envious and should think of the welfare of all living entities. not only of the human beings, but living entities other than human beings. The word suchaye means one who is cleansed both externally and internally. To become actually cleansed externally and internally, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna or Vishnu, constantly. And so you're living the pure lifestyle, but the most important is chanting the Lord's name. That's actually what's going to generate real purity. The word Dhyatam means that knowledge of Krishna consciousness should be offered by the spiritual master. The spiritual master must not accept a disciple who is not qualified. Right? Because in other words, you don't instruct someone who's not qualified. Yes. What does that mean? We just mentioned before all what's qualification, what's disqualification. So it's based on that. These are purports to those instructions. So those anyone who knows, you don't accept them as a student. He should not be professional and should not accept disciples for monetary gain. The bona fide spiritual master must see the bona fide qualities of a person whom he is going to initiate. An unworthy person should not be initiated. The spiritual master should train his disciples in such a way so that in the future only the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be the dearmost goal of his life. In these two verses, right, so the whole point of the training is it's all about being surrendered to the Lord, nothing else. Anything else is not of importance. Does that make sense? In these two verses, the qualities of a devotee are fully explained. One who has actually developed all the qualities listed in these verses is already elevated to the post of a devotee. If one has not accepted all these qualities, he still has to fulfill these conditions in order to become a perfect devotee. So in other words, it's not that we don't have to develop these things. We have to be aware and accept that these are what must be developed. But it's not that, oh, we don't care about all these things. No, this is what has to be developed. Right? Just like we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care about the rules. We don't have to chant 16 rounds. We just, if we want to chant, we chant. We don't. No, you have to follow. Yes? We just have to follow this. Okay. But the thing is what the question is, I mean, the point is that we don't actually, there's no rule that we have to stand for. We just have to chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, even though there's no rule saying that either, right? This is what was before what we call opinion, right? So, therefore, we only have to chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra and get free from offenses. Okay, and let's just say, okay, that gets us free from offenses. What are you going to do to develop love for Krishna? Sorry?
Following the order of the rules.
Yeah, and the Guru tells us to chant what? What did Prabhupada tell us to chant? You're not sure. Sure, okay. What did Lord Chaitanya chant in his non-sanctical? Did Lord Chaitanya chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra? Oh, you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra before you chant the round. Not that you don't chant Hare Krishna. Okay, you have to represent properly, right? Prabhupada mentions that there, you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra before you start chanting, but you don't have to chant before each round. You can if you want, but that's a personal choice. That's not a rule. It's just that you chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra before you chant, because by getting the grace of the Panchatattva, then you're able to chant nicely. So that what the devotee there is saying, that's the standard. That's what Prabhupada gave. That's what the others do. Right? Like as Nitai Padakama says, without getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you won't understand Radha Krishna. But he is a member of the Panchatattva. Right? So So before chanting, you chant the Panchakatva Mahamantra. Right? So some devotees ask, oh, it's so good, so we chant rounds of it. No, Prabhupada just said you chant it a few times and then you chant your rounds.
No, just don't worry about the rules. Just
chant the Panchakatva Mahamantra
and chant
the rounds. So what rules? So you're asking a whole different, what do you mean by rules?
No, like, worry about the offenses,
you know, the order. But what offenses? Do you understand? What is the context? The context is you have to focus on chanting, getting the mercy of the Panchakatva and chanting. That's what's going to take you, you know, beyond all this. You don't have to focus on the offenses themselves and not on your chanting. That's not going to be useful. That's the meaning of what they're saying. Okay? It's not that we're not careful about offending Vaishnavas and this and that. It's that we're focused on chanting nicely. Then, if we're chanting nicely, then we're going to naturally be able to be careful of the offenses. Does that work? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. The question was, transforming every anyone who once meditates upon me with faith and affection, who hears and chants about me, surely goes back home, back to Godhead. Because once someone started it with actual faith, they will take up the process and at some point become perfect and go back to Godhead. So that means one doesn't have to worry about all those things, meaning that I have these things, so how can I go back to Godhead? You focus on worshipping the Lord with faith and affection, and hearing and chanting about the Lord, right, according to the directions of the spiritual master, then one will go back to Godhead. Right? It doesn't mean that any of these points that are being made are good. It's just you don't focus on those. You focus on the positive aspects and to your best try to avoid these negatives. Right? Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes
devotees think it's hard to write you those chapters because it's just something that we all have and kind of hopeless. Well, but then that's why this is mentioned at the end. But the point is you should know you're there. Otherwise, devotees go on every day and they become proud because they're doing so nicely and let's do this and that one that. But then the whole point is you know, the pot shouldn't be calling the kettle black. You don't know that one? The pot calling the kettle black. Right? Yeah. So therefore, we try to do this all night. Yes? Yes. Yeah.
Most of us, we are in both categories.
We're in both categories. Yes, so the category that's correct, you should hear from about. Hear because of. The part that's not correct, you shouldn't. So therefore, avoid the not qualified part and cultivate the qualified part. And the main thing here is remembering the Lord with faith and affection and hearing and chanting about the Lord based on the direction of the spiritual master. Yes? You can always come in closer.
There's no qualified memory video where one devotee was saying that he has that vimana, how do you think of chariot of the gods or something like that? And he had about vimana.
He accepts or doesn't accept?
Sorry?
He accepts or does not accept?
He couldn't understand.
So don't worry about it, because it's aparavidya. That's the point, is the aparavidya. That's why we're getting into here. This is technical. You don't get into it. You just chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, do these things, then it'll work. Okay. Parishishtam. Reference from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavad Arkarmitimala. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkarmitimala, chapter 4, the factual truth of Krishna, Bhagavad Sarupa Tattvam, which is within the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge. But according to different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha avatar. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkarmitimala, chapter 8, characteristics of the conditioned soul, by the Jiva Lakshana, which is within the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. These are varieties of material existence for the living entity. According to work, he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into this forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. And so if you take up these, means the Lord is appearing differently because of how we're perceiving him. But the point is, he is in everything. And because of him, then if you see him as a person, you can see that aspect. You see him as Brahman, you see him as Paramatma, Tarani Garba, however you see, that's how you can see the Lord. Right? At the same time is that if one is not able to, if one becomes absorbed in the material energy, then he will not understand the Lord, because he won't understand actually his position and how he fits into everything. He'll be covered by Maya. Right? Because his performance in ignorance, forgetfulness of a real identity. So he won't actually be able to understand where his movements will end. He doesn't know where he goes. He doesn't know what death is and where it will go and when it will take him. So he can't understand anything. So we're talking about that knowledge where he can understand everything. Chapter 33, the activities of Kapila. Patigya. Kapila sets an example of teaching and then leaving home to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Set an example. How to teach and how to leave home. Possibly. Meditating on the Lord's nice, so you, when the Lord meditates, he's happy, right? Just like this. We think about ourselves, we're happy, right? But we're thinking about ignorance, but the Lord's thinking about transcendence, so naturally he'll be happy. But there's also the aspect that all the Vishnu Tattvas are devotees of Krishna, so then there's also that, and they think of, you know, as I mentioned, I was told by the Pujaris, I think in Tirupati, that in the deity room where Vishnu takes rest with Lakshmi, then they have pictures of Krishna and Vrindavan on the walls. So technically, Lord Vishnu is the devotee of Krishna also. Like Balaram is known as the Supreme Personality of devotee, you know, servant of Godhead. Right? So he is, you could say in that way, Vishnu Tattva, but he's the Lord's greatest devotee. So that's why they're always together. The Pritigya is taken from purport to text 12. The mission of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Kapila was to distribute the transcendental knowledge of Shankya philosophy, which is full of devotional service. Having imparted that knowledge to his mother and through his mother to the world, Kapiladev had no more need to stay at home. So he took permission from his mother and left. Apparently he left home for spiritual realization, although he had nothing to realize spiritually because he himself is the person to be spiritually realized. Therefore, this is an example set by the Supreme Personality of Godhead while acting like an ordinary human being so that others might learn from him. He could, of course, have stayed with his mother, but he indicated that there was no need to stay with the family. Because if he had stayed, they would say, well, Kapila stayed. You know, that's always the thing. Even though you know you're not supposed to and this and that, you'll find an excuse. Or he did it. Or he's taking, you know, it's just like a, what do you call it? Well, he's taking morphine. Yeah, but he, you know, he just had the serious operation. He's thinking, no, but he's just, you know, see, he's, you know, we'll just find an excuse. Right? But that's the problem. Right? So we're trying to avoid that. Therefore, this is an example set by the Supreme Personality of Godhead while acting like an ordinary human being, so that others might learn from him. He could, of course, have stayed with his mother, but he indicated that there is no need to stay with the family. It is best to remain alone as a brahmachari, sannyasi, or vanaprastha, and cultivate Krishna consciousness throughout one's whole life. Those who are unable to remain alone are given license to live in household life with wife and children, not for sense gratification, but for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Right? Because if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, naturally, whatever the engagement of the senses are in your duties, then the senses are taken care of. But you don't cultivate sense gratification. Does this make sense? Because as we said before, it's already applied. So if by performing my duties to please Krishna, then already the benefits of karma and jnana are accrued. That means already all these things are accrued. What everyone's looking for in household life will be attained if one does it all for Krishna. This one has to know how to.
Prescribed duties.
There are prescribed duties in others, just they're very minimal. Because like you see, brahmachari life basically is covered in one, and less than one chapter. Right? And and a lot of that is not as important for us if we're not karma conscious. So a few, these, the main principles will all be valuable, but some of the small details aren't so important. So that means less of the chapter. In the Vanaprastha, it's half of the chapter, and also part of those are not so important. Like that. But still, so that means also less than half of the chapter. And the sannyas is half a chapter, most of that's philosophical, so pretty much all of it's useful. Yeah, like that. So that means that basically the amount of rules that's there in Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you're talking about maybe 1.5 chapters or less. Right? Like that. And then you have the opening chapter with the philosophy and all that, including chapter which is some aspects. So 1.5 chapters of philosophy, 1.5 chapters of Brahmachari, Grihastha, and Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So that's 3 chapters. So that leaves 9 chapters as for Grihastha. So like that, then you would say the rules are for Grihastha. Right? But all the rules that are there for the Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi are also there for the Grihastha. Because that's actually the point. It's the basis of the Grihastha life, the Brahmacharya, and it's the goal of their Grihastha life. Right? Vanaprastha Sannyasa is the goal of it, on the basis of the Brahmacharya. And then in between, you perform your duties to please Krishna, and then it works out. Does that make sense? Okay. Previous questions discussed in this chapter, question 53 and 73. Question 53. I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva.
What's the question?
They probably want to know about these. But remember, he wanted to hear about these in connection with Krishna consciousness. Because he's heard about them in general, but now he wants to hear about them, like he's heard about Varnash and all these different things. Now he wants to hear about the connection. Question 73 of Srimad Bhagavatam is asked by Vidura Maitreya Muni. Please give an account of the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, such as his powerful sons Priyavrata and Uttanapada, and his daughter Devahuti. She wed Kardama. How many children did they have? Adhyaya Prakashita. In the 33rd chapter, after being praised by Devahuti, Kapila departs for the forest. Devahuti attains the Lord by the path taught by him. Devahuti was now filled with knowledge. She pays her obeisances to Kapiladev, offering him prayers and glorification of his transcendental activities. In the his birth, his name, and his identity. Kapiladev then affectionately informs his mother that anyone following the path of Shankya would become free from birth and death. Kapila then took permission from his mother and left home. While feeling separation from her son, Lord Kapiladev, and meditating upon him, Devahuti practiced Shankya yoga in Kardama Muni's opulent ashram. She achieved liberation and attained spiritual perfection. Kapiladev went to the ocean in the northeast, where even today he resides and is worshipped. Anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee and is eligible to enter the kingdom of God and engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service. Shloka on the charm. And you hear. You can always come in closer. No. Summary of verses 1 to 8. Devahuti offers praise to her son Kapila. Verses 9 to 11. Kapila blesses Devahuti and takes permission to leave. 12 to 32. Devahuti practices according to his instructions and achieves perfection. 33 to 37. Kapila's travels and final benediction. Verses 1 to 8. Having heard from Lord Kapiladev the teachings of Shankya, Devahuti became free from all ignorance. She offered her obeisances and then satisfied her son by offering him the following prayer. Sri Maitreya said, thus Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapiladev and wife of Kardama Muni, became free from all ignorance concerning devotional service and transcendental knowledge. She offered her obeisances unto the Lord, the author of the basic principles of the Shankya system of philosophy, which is the background of liberation, and she satisfied him with the following verses of prayer. Devahuti said, Brahma is said to be unborn because he takes birth from the lotus flower, which grows from your abdomen while you lie in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. But even Brahma simply meditated upon you, whose body is the source of unlimited universes. My dear Lord, although personally you have nothing to do, you have distributed your energies in the interactions of the material modes of nature, and for that reason the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation takes place. My dear Lord, you are self-determined and are the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all living entities. Right? So he's the Supreme Personality for all living entities. It doesn't matter who they are, whether they believe in him or not, have faith in him or not, what aspect they have faith, he's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead for everyone. For them, you created this material manifestation, and although you are one, your diverse energies can act multifariously. This is inconceivable to us, right? So that's the point. We accept that that's there. He's simultaneously everything, but not everything. He pervades everything through his energies, but at the same time, he's in control of them, and therefore knows everything. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have taken birth from my abdomen. Oh, my Lord, how is that possible for the Supreme One, who has in his belly all the cosmic manifestation? The answer is that it is possible, for at the end of the millennium, you lie down on a leaf of a banyan tree, and just like a small baby, you lick the toe of your lotus foot. So the point is, the Lord can do anything. like that. It's up to him. So whatever he wants to do for fun. So then that's the nice thing. Verses 1 to 4. Srila Prabhupada explained, at the time of dissolution, the Lord sometimes appears as a small baby lying on a leaf of a banyan tree, floating on the devastating water. Therefore, Devahuti suggests, your lying down within the abdomen of a common woman like me is not so astonishing. You lie down on a leaf of a banyan tree and float on the water of devastation as a small baby. It is not very wonderful, therefore, that you can lie down in the abdomen of my body. You teach us that those who are very fond of children within this material world, and who therefore enter into marriage to enjoy family life with children, can also have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their child. And the most wonderful thing is that the Lord himself licks his toe. Right? So he reciprocates. Right? Since all the great sages and devotees apply all energy and all activities in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there must be some transcendental pleasure in the toes of his lotus feet. The Lord licks his toe to taste the nectar for which the devotees always aspire. Right? Because the devotees always worship the lotus feet of the Lord. So so that means, and they get nectar from that. So he wants to taste that nectar. Right? So he licks his own toe. He sometimes takes the position of tasting himself. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but he appears as a devotee to taste the sweetness of the transcendental mellow in himself, which is tasted by Srimati Radharani, the greatest of all devotees. So, as a child on the banyan leaf, he tastes what the devotees in general, and the great sages and that, are tasting by serving his lotus feet. But as Lord Chaitanya, he tastes what Srimati Radharani is tasting and serving. Right? In the previous verses 1 through 4, the general transcendental qualifications of the Supreme Personality of Godhead were described. Now in verse 5, the specific purpose of the Lord's appearance is mentioned. My dear Lord, you have assumed this body in order to diminish the sinful activities of the fallen and to enrich their knowledge and devotion and liberation. Since these sinful people are dependent on your direction, by your own will, you assume incarnations as a boar in other forms. Similarly, you have appeared in order to distribute transcendental knowledge to your dependents. That was the point I was going to make before. Not even here. So, it was that all this technical knowledge has been given in all the Shastras. Right? Other than Bhagavatam. It's all there. Right? And then the conclusions of all that and the essence of all that's given in Mahabharata. But Vyasadeva was not satisfied. So then Narad Muni comes and we see this is right in the beginning after we established, you know, the Lord, the position of devotional service, the position of the Lord in his incarnations. Then the next thing that we establish is this pastime where Narad Muni then instructs Vyasadeva about that he hasn't brought out this aspect about seeing the Lord as the essence in everything. So that's why Bhagavatam is there. That's what's one gains. But it means so you're connecting all the knowledge that the details are given somewhere else. So if it's useful directly in devotional service, more detail is given. If it's not, it's just referred to. Right? Does that make sense? Like Devahuti, she makes the comment that Kardama Muni is a knowledge of the proper interaction between husband and wife. But he doesn't get into detail because that's covered in other shastras. Right? So, but things that are directly like Shankya, then that will be given. But the point is it's about the Lord being in everything. Right? But it's him, the person is there. You can see the person. So then you're able to see, as I said before, the Lord and everything, living entities everywhere, and everything connected to the Lord. Then life becomes very good. Yeah.
So in the case of instructing these unqualified people, we might, if we are able, tell them how to apply something in their life, but not give them the technical details on the background, like give them the form.
You give them the principle. No, it's more you stick to the principle, don't get the detail. unless the, because the principle, in other words, the principle you're talking about the supreme, either as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody will accept one of those three. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So therefore you can do that, and when you get down to the detail, that's where then opinions start. You know, the doubts, the misgivings. That starts on the detail. So that's why if you stick to the primary, you can always preach the primary. Secondary, you're careful who you give what secondary to who. So that's the whole point of it, is that the primary is understanding the Lord and how to and connecting the Lord. The detail is how to do that. Now you just give the general and let people just work at it. As they become purified, they can accept, because a lot of the things, because we're used to a culture of passion and ignorance, therefore goodness is actually seemingly the opposite of it. You know what I'm saying? So then it becomes a difficulty for us. Because the only reason I am doing what I'm doing, let's say I'm working for the family, is because of attachment. Right? Which is ignorance. And why do I am I doing it? Because of the enjoyment I'll get. That's passion. So now if you're saying I'm going to do this in knowledge and detachment, it's kind of like, forget it. Why would I be involved in family life with knowledge and detachment? You understand? So you can't get into the technical points there, because immediately it'll be rejected. Right? Because there's people who's thinking, no, only when you're a parent, then you really understand what it means. So what we're saying is only when you're totally absorbed in passion and ignorance, then you'll know what it means. You can't understand from the mode of goodness or transcendence. Does that make sense? But what they're missing is, no, you can only understand in the goodness. In passion and ignorance, you're not understanding. But it drives you to do something. Kids get taken care of because of passion and ignorance. Very few are taken care of because of goodness. You know what I'm saying? But at least then they grow up and get an opportunity to be exposed to that goodness, so that then they can also themselves take up Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So, better they're taken care of than not taken care of. But the point is in the Vedic culture, people who are following the mode of goodness, they take care of the kids quite nicely. In fact, they seem to have a lot more of them than anybody else. May have missed you, wouldn't I? In the next two important verses, 6 to 7, the spiritual potency of chanting, hearing, or remembering the holy name of the Supreme Lord is greatly stressed, to say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog-eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Rupa Goswami has discussed the sequence of sinful activities of the conditioned soul, and he has established in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says that he takes charge of one who surrenders unto him, and he makes him immune to all reactions to sinful activities. If by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead one becomes so swiftly cleared of all reactions to sinful activities, then what is to be said of those persons who see him face to face? Another consideration here is that persons who are purified by the process of chanting and hearing become immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Generally, only a person who is born in a family of brahmanas, who has been reformed by the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, and who has learned it in Vedic literature, is allowed to perform the Vedic sacrifices. Right? Because they'll have the qualifications, the attitudes to do it properly. And the point of the sacrifice is to please the Supreme Lord. So since that's the ultimate point, because someone is taken up with faith to chanting, therefore they are qualified to perform these sacrifices since they're meant for the Supreme Lord. Now, according to their ability to perform the technical aspects, then they're involved or not. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Just like, let's say, who would cook for the deities? But just anybody who knows how to cook?
Yes.
Or it's about a devotee?
A devotee.
Right? So the natural thing in the Pancharatra, it means, you know, in the Vedic system, you would be born into good families, therefore you're qualified to worship the deity. Right? But now someone who takes up the chanting of Hare Krishna, now they're qualified to worship the deity, so they could cook for the deity. But of those who are qualified to cook for the deity, who cooks for the deity? No. It means when I opened it, she gave this answer, and when I checked, she gave the first. Okay? So then it's, yeah. First one I said, so who should cook? She said, who knows how to cook? So it means context is the Brahmin. Right? Now, of those, who knows how to cook or who has the ability? Right? So therefore, they can do Vedic yagyas, but who should be doing? Those who have that kind of inclination. Right? Yes.
So, it's not any problem for
the Mataji who can. But what is that? How does that have to do with it? This is about you're born in the Malecha family. You know what I'm saying? See, it's like this. Does Brahman have variety or not? So, if we say Brahman has no variety, that is what philosophy. Mayava, right? So, can you tell the difference between Brahman that has a feminine form and Brahman that has a masculine form? Yes? So then, the point is whether the devotee is transcendental or not, the point is when it comes to yagyas and worshipping the Ugra forms and the Sringa, only those in masculine bodies are supposed to do it. Does that make sense? So, that's not a matter of, oh, then anybody can do here. Because the point is what's the qualification? Right? Now, in the tradition, the wife of the priest who's going to do it, they set up, they make the bricks, they build the kunda. She arranges all the paraphernalia. But she doesn't do the yajna. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it's set. Who should manage? A manager or just any idiot who wants to? Who has an opinion, who doesn't like... He has authority issues. Doesn't want anybody to tell him to do. Is he qualified just because he wants? Or should it be a manager? Who should drive the car? Just anybody or someone with a license that knows how to drive? So the point is there are qualifications that come in the masculine for these two things. There's two things. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's jumping up about doing yagyas and this, worshiping the Sringa day. You know that Tulsi is picked by hired carnies. 3,000 devotees here, there's service. No service, because they want to only do the stuff right on the altar. That, to me, is not transcendental vision. That's not, we are not this body, Prabhu. That is, I'm totally this body, and I totally have to do what I do. What is valuable to a woman? What's valuable is what is rare, what is hard to get, what is impossible to get. What does the wife want from the husband? The impossible. So, because it's impossible, that's why it's wanted. If you're supposed to do it, no one wants to do it. Otherwise, why is it out there? Why? I mean, you see the garlands that Krishna wears and everybody wears? You know how many ladies could be out there picking Tulsi? Right? And then you did have two ladies out there taking care of Tulsi, and I think they both burnt each other out, and they don't even stay in Mayapur anymore. Because the politics they created over taking care of Tulsi was so great. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Does ladies like physical discomfort?
No.
No. But if it's in connection with a direct relationship, it's okay. You're dealing with a fire that's hot. It burns your skin. It burns holes in your cloth. It gets ghee all over everything. How will a woman like doing that? So she'll keep the fire small and everything for her own self. She won't build the fire according to the fire's needs. She'll build it according to her own. But now if she cooks according to her needs, and this she'll cook something fabulous. Does that make sense? So, if Nrisimhadev in his ugra forms is not with Lakshmi, that means he's not interacting based on considerations of a woman. So if a woman tries to interact with him, what is he supposed to do? He's not in that mood. When he's in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, he's right there. How many women worship Lakshmi Narayan? You know one. But how many are jumping up and down, no, we have to worship ugra Nrisimha? That's the point, is that anybody, any lady can worship Lakshmi Narayan. Go ahead, knock yourself out. But they're not doing it. They're only focusing because it can't be done. You know what I'm saying? Before, it's like the ladies can't give class. You know, it's an international cry. How many are giving class now that they can? And probably so much of the times, well, I'm supposed to give, well, I can't give because this came up, that came up, and it's a whole trip. So therefore, the Vedas, these two things say don't do. But it has to be, because we're not this body. So if we're not this body, then why is it everybody's, you know, spending so much time and saris and this and accessories and all that? You know what? We could build a temple if we didn't buy. If all the ladies in this movement, all the money that went into all their jewelry, saris, this and that, was put to this temple, we could build two of them. You know what I'm saying? One for now, one for spare for later. You know what I'm saying? So what is this? We're not this body. It's pure nonsense, this stuff. Now that people take advantage and deal with them badly, that's no excuse. That's no excuse at all. But the whole point is these are just social issues. They're based on the modern concept of equality. The modern concept of equality. Who gets the kids? You have kids. Whatever man you have. If there's a divorce, who gets the kids?
Mother.
The mother. What happened to equality? Why not, okay, divide them down the middle? Two kids, one gets one gets the other. You understand? If it was up to the woman, she'd get the whole time, the man wouldn't get anything. So where's the equality? She gets the house. It's not that he gets half the house, no, she gets the whole house. So where is this equality? It doesn't exist. It's simply a social effort for gain and safety. It has nothing to do with we're not this body. It's absolutely, totally rooted in the feminine nature and its needs. Totally. The most liberated woman, you can so identify her feminine nature. So identify. Right? You have the toughest, nastiest girl. She's got a butch haircut. She wears leather. Right? She rides a Harley. Right? She's got a girl that she lives with. But who's the center of attention here? If she's the man, then it should be about the girl, who's the one with the long hair and wears the dresses. But it's not. It's about her. She's the center. And the other one does anything wrong, she's the one that flips out. She can be all trippy. So is she actually a man? No, she's just a very uber woman. And in this example, it probably was German. So it doesn't matter. Think Berlin. Okay? Right? You've seen? Huh? Yes. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. You can always identify. There's no question. You have a female dog. You can still tell it's a female. They're a dog. They'll bite your leg off. But they're feminine. They deal differently than the masculine dogs. You can't say it's God's creation, not ours. So all this nonsense, and we're not this body, this, that. The point is, that's why it's said again and again, prescribed duty. So the prescribed duty is like a play. Why can't I say the lines? Why does Macbeth get all the good lines? Why can't I say? You know, why can't I rub my cloth and say, oh, damn spot, you know? No, but he's rubbing his hands. Yeah, but he's already rubbing his hands. I don't want to rub my hands. I want to rub my cloth. But you're not Macbeth either. No, but I like the line. You know, hey, I'm not this body. Why can't I say the line? You understand? If we throw it into this, it's just totally absurd. But as soon as you put it into this context, immediately, suddenly, everybody, yes, this is gospel. This is fact. This is real. It's just pure pranamoy for gain and safety, and that's it. Nothing to do with Dharma, nothing to do with God consciousness. Zero. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with it. It's simply a reaction to men not behaving properly as men, therefore not dealing with them properly. Therefore, you get the reaction, you just do it yourself. Now, if the men are getting something out of it, what are they getting that I'm not getting? But it mentions here is that when you get to the advanced platform, actually advanced platform, where we're not the body, then you only care for your duties and don't care for anything outside of that. So therefore, these whole things, they're fighting for these things. These are based on them being women. That's why they're doing it. Because if a man was doing like that and pushing like that, what would we say about him? The man is pushing to be a guru and pushing to be this and all that. We would say, what's wrong with this guy? But if a woman does that, everyone kind of steps back. Because women can do that. So they're doing it because they're women, not because they're the spirit soul. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of these things. Is that Krishna gave the nature, and so that's the way it is. And so one should accept that. If I'm not the body, I look at, okay, it's like this, very simple. Oh, we're not the body, but you don't know, but you're in a body, so that means you have to engage in service according to the body. Go look in a mirror, figure out what body you got. What can it do? Right? Then you're looking at that, then you see, okay, this body can do this service. Right? According to, this is the rules. Because it's a play, it's the Lord's pastime. And we don't want to take part in the pastime, we want to do our own thing. You know, so either that is like a bunch of kids who just start playing and make up the rules as they go. It's like Calvin ball or something. You know, as you go, yeah. Have you never seen kids that make the rules and when somebody gets an advantage, then the other kid makes a rule you can't do that? Why? The kids do that. Or you have these real artistic kind of guys and it's all about their expressions and they do weirdo stuff. And then when they put on their drama, the guy sitting in the chair and this and that and the whole an hour and a half of him just sitting in the chair and freaking out. And you have 15, 20 people watching. And that's it. It'll never go mainstream. No one else would care. In fact, they probably won't want to watch it again. And probably the guy wouldn't want to do it again. It's not that great. But you see other things, the plays have been, everybody's doing, everyone likes to do them. Because it's just about their feelings and what they want to do. And so when you go into that and it doesn't have a form, it loses something. So that's why if you want something excellent, it has to have form. Nothing in this world works without form. And so that's why it's recommended. And being the fools that we are, we reject it. Because we think, my mind, we'll figure out something better. If it was, why didn't we come to Krishna consciousness from the background we came from? Who came from a good, pious background? Who had something, who was enjoying life and that, but then saw that that there was something missing for the soul? No, they're just frustrated. And then they know it came to Krishna consciousness, and then they took it up. And then now we try to impose all these modern social issues that most of them are pretty old. You know, they may sometimes catch the new ones. But that's only because that was important to them before. You know what I'm saying? So it's sad. Does that work? Yes. We should end because now it stopped raining. You should go while the chance is there because it might start raining.